Josh.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Do the wiggle, man. I do the wiggle, man. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. The Wiggle Room with Josh Wiggler. Josh, how are you?
Annoyed. A little annoyed, to be honest.
Oh, no.
I was supposed to be the caller. I was supposed to call you. I thought that we had unanimously agreed upon that before we got on the podcast today. And lo and behold, the phone call comes in on Skype and it's from you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're early. And I'm supposed to be the one calling you.
Sorry.
It's a bummer.
Sorry about
Bummer.
That.
Oh,
apologize.
My God.
Apologize. See, I thought that you were going to be annoyed because your winner pick is out of the game.
I'm not thrilled about it.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm being completely candid with you, I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, we completely busted. Josh and I had the same winner pick this season, and it did not go great.
Oh, it went bad this time. Yeah, it went belly up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not Chelsea's fault, you know. I can't pin any of that on Chelsea. I have a hard time figuring out where I guess I haven't listened to David and Jessica yet, but I'm having a hard time figuring out why Chelsea lost in terms of anything that she did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna stand Chelsea Walker until the rest of time. The robbed G. Otis of Survivor Island of the Idols, no matter who else goes home the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's
Wombat Walker presides.
Yeah, so you feel like that she didn't do much wrong here, and then here she is out of the game and with very little culpability.
I mean, what are you going to say? Like, you should have played your idol. Well, she didn't sense it coming because it didn't mm-hmm. make a lot of sense.
Yeah. did you do your exit interview with Chelsea?
I did not get a chance to, and I feel horrible about it.
Why she was crying when I talked to her?
I think that may have been a piece of it. I think that may have been a part of it. I told Mike Bloom to tell her I was very sorry that I wasn't going to be able to speak with her on Thursday. I had a personal matter that I had to attend to, and Mike reported back that Chelsea was not pleased to miss the Wiggler interview, if you'll remember, in the preseason.
Not a dope day.
If you remember the preseason, she left day one of press day without the two of us crossing paths and thought that she was going to be heading into Survivor without doing a first one out interview. And so she was very excited when it turned out there was a second day of press and our paths did indeed cross. But unfortunately, our paths did not cross for the exit press. There will be no Josh Wiggler, Chelsea Walker exit press. But a high five in the future, I'm sure.
Yeah, maybe she'll buy you a drink.
Well, good luck. I don't drink anymore, so.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be an alcoholic drink.
You can pour me a water.
I'll take
a seltzer with a splash of bitters. Sounds nice.
Yeah. Okay. Soft drink.
Soft drink.
Lots of drinks. Okay.
A Gatorade if my electrolytes look low.
Coconut water. That's popular.
Fairly sugary. Maybe a protein shake.
Coffee's a drink.
A coffee would be good. Yeah. I would take a coffee. That'd be great. A bubble tea.
Ooh.
With some skim milk would be all right. The tapioca to throw it back to Borneo. That would be good.
Okay. Now that we've named all the drinks. Okay.
There are no more drinks to name.
Anyway.
I think that Lord knows I am a huge fan of this person. The way that she riveted me in the preseason, unmatched in my time talking to these folks in the pregame. A little bit of the big move-itis from Missy, as per the episode, I think.
Yeah.
There's gotta be more there, and we just don't have that accounting of what that there is, because otherwise it really just comes out of absolute nowhere that Missy wants to go after Chelsea and break up what seemed to be a pretty good thing. Why not just go for Karishma? Like, the logic on why going for Chelsea over Karishma at this point, if Dean suddenly doesn't, you know, satisfy as an option for the masses, it's beyond my ken, Rob.
Yes. So, Josh, I think that this is something that we might track through the 30s when we get to the Evolution Strategy Volume 4. I wonder if survivors are playing faster and faster and basically playing for the swap before we get to a swap, where that it seems like that Missy, for whatever reason, she feels like, okay, Aaron, this is one of my people, and whoever else that she feels like is one of her people that I want to move forward with in the game. And Chelsea, not as tight with her. Maybe she's going to put together her own group. And so let me just take her out here if the swap is around the corner.
Yeah, and it's just like there's a depth of that that is missing from the show. And it's a crowded show right now. There's a lot of elements in play, so it's hard to get all of that nuance as to why that relationship would have gone south the way that it did, because there's really just no indication of it very much at all until this episode with like the slight introduction of like an air quotes showmance. And I don't know, like, is it a sign of Karishma is doing a very good job making herself seem really valuable to someone like Missy moving forward? Is it an instance of Missy misreading the value that Karishma brings to the table? If we're judging by like the preview where Karishma says like, yeah, I'm gonna flip immediately. Mm-hmm. You know, like where does it lie? Is there a failing on Chelsea's part of just not strengthening the bonds more with Missy? I think that if there's a knock to say against Chelsea, and I don't think that this is much of a knock against her as it would be against any of these people. They're all confident coming into the game. That's why they were cast. You know, these are people who are cast because they have alpha personalities. They much like Butch Lockley, believe in themselves. Mm-hmm. That they feel like they're out here for a reason, and they've got their million-dollar destiny, and they're going to do this thing. But Chelsea was really confident in her abilities coming out there. She felt like she had spent so much time thinking about this, had spent so much effort trying to get on here, had applied for the show and made it very, very close to the end of the line many, many times along the way. Was an ace at fire, felt good about her challenge abilities, knew survivor strategy very well, had really no reason in her mind to think of herself as somebody who was predestined to become undateable by not reaching the merge. Was there like a level of safety that she felt that maybe she should have allowed herself to feel some more danger? Perhaps, but I still have a hard time like really fully faulting her for sitting on an idol at the fourth tribal of the game. I think it's a testament to the fact that this is a tribe that's skilled at the blind side. And I think that it's also a testament to the fact that I feel like the blind side was just a weird one. Like, I think it was a weird person to vote out here.
Yeah, it was a weird one to make. And maybe Chelsea was playing the game exactly right for Survivor 24 or even Survivor 29. But I wonder if, you know, that the game has moved to a Vlachos-esque pace. And Missy, just to bring it back to tie it to character stuff, you know, Missy is somebody who talked about with you in the preseason about how she's a woman that had a near-death experience, and she's now going to be the kind of person that, hey, I want to go see a Beyonce concert, I'm going to go do that. And I think that she's not somebody who is going to sit around and be patient in terms of making moves in the game. I think if she feels like making a move, I think she's just going to make it. And, you know, maybe that's the speed that this game is going to get played out at.
Yeah, well, I hope that people respect that, because I feel like what you often see on Survivor is when you are playing that erratically and like cutting an ally for no reason other than to make the move, I think people really are rubbed fairly wrong by that if you get to the end. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like that's often a person who just gets like dragged at Final Tribal.
I think that Tony, I mean, I should have talked about this with Trish, but I didn't think of it on Thursday. But, you know, when he's voting out people like LJ, we're like, what is he doing? That's crazy. Why didn't he just play it? You know, maybe this is Missy's plan. Maybe this is how she's going to play.
Yeah. Maybe. And I think a lot of it will depend on if she makes it to the jury phase, right? Like if she makes it to the merge and she finds herself on some sort of trajectory towards the final three, how does she place people onto the jury? Because I think if you place someone onto the jury the way that Chelsea was placed here, with like really no rhyme or reason to the vote, and leave them really fully wondering if you can't articulate it to that person why they went home, just from what I've read and listened to in the exit press, Chelsea seems to like really still just like not fully understand exactly what happened.
Doesn't get it.
You know, I think that there needs to be some follow through on that. Certainly, I have firsthand experience knowing that Missy knows how to craft a very compelling narrative. Mm-hmm. Missy knows how to tell a story and tell her story and tell it in a way where you are absolutely magnetized and sucked into the narrative, and you can't listen away. Like, you can't look away. You want to know every single thing that's going to happen next. So I think if she, you know, is able to make it that far, if she's able to make it to the very end and have a chance in front of a jury, I have reason to believe that she could do a really good job of talking to her peers about the game that she played. Yeah. We need more information. This was just a real, you know, out of left field vote out for me. And I don't know if it's just the winner pick bias that's coming through. Certainly a touch of that for sure.
Do we know if Missy has shared her backstory with the other survivor players in the season? Or do you think that is that something potentially that she's leaving on the table for a final tribal council?
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't think that the episodes have indicated one way or the other. I will be honest that I have reached levels of my fandom where I'm not seeking out the secret scenes anymore. So if this is a secret scene thing, I don't know if there was a Missy secret scene where she confided to someone. So if that doesn't exist, then I feel like we would get that on the show. I don't know. Next time we get a chance to talk to someone from Lyro, we can ask them.
It's a good question.
Given the way it's going, we'll probably talk to someone this week.
Well, we got a swap coming up, so you never
know. I guess that's true.
Josh, let me ask you a couple other quick things. So Karishma this week was talking about how, you know, she was going to be the likely person voted out, but things were changing and things got very chaotic back at camp, and she viewed that as a good thing. Then Missy called her out about, hey, just because because somebody else might get voted out here that's going to be blindsided, that's not you, doesn't mean that it's a good thing.
All I have to say is there was chaos, great, because chaos is a ladder and maybe I can climb it out of my trench.
Okay.
Missy, chaos is a ladder, Missy.
Oh, yeah. I hope it goes better for Karishma than Littlefinger.
I hope she gets to go to Island of the Idols just so she can say, Sandra, I learned all your wisdom, Sandra, everything that I learned from you.
Yes, yeah, I hope it goes better than for Lord Baelish.
I hope that she's able to get some lemon cakes at some point as a reward.
Oh.
Now, I don't know if Littlefinger liked the lemon cakes.
Sandra, he would like them for Sansa.
He would tolerate them if Sansa liked them, even if he was like allergic to lemons mildly, he'd probably eat them.
Mm-hmm. Josh, what about Nora on the Island of the Idols? So where were you? We said, please, Nora to the Island of the Idols. We got it. It was delivered.
Oh my God. I mean, watching the Nora stuff with a packed crowd at the live Know-It-Alls, which was such a blast. Killed. It was so much fun to meet everybody at live Know-It-Alls who I hadn't met before, to see people who I hadn't seen in a while. The whole thing was just amazing. Thank you again, Rob, for throwing the shindig and, you know, creating the reason for everybody to get together, because it was a blast. But I will say, as far as it concerns the episode specifically, to watch the Nora show with hundreds of Survivor fans was out of this world.
Yeah.
It was so great. Like, the moment where everybody is giving their confessional about, like, no one wants to volunteer, no one wants to take a risk, it would be survivor suicide. And then you just see Nora go, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And then it cuts immediately to her on the boat. It's just like, that's that David versus Goliath editing, man. Like, that's the storytelling that I'm loving from this, you know, this era of Survivor, where they're being really, really playful in the edit. That was so funny. Everything with Nora, with Rob and Sandra, like the moment where she's like, I'll do it. Freaking awesome. Yeah, I'm in. I'm totally in. And Sandra even be like, just chew your watermelon. Think about it. She's like, what's there to think about? I'm doing it. It's done. It's done. It's happening. The full freaking lie. The whole lie was incredible. The Nora's lie was like the anti-hair idol. Like, as clever as Kelly hiding the idol in her hair was how ridiculously hair-brained Nora's scheme was. But it was genius. And it was brilliant. And it was spectacular. And then everybody shuts her down the second that they say who's going to sit out. And Laura's just like, Nora. And Nora's like, excuse me? And everybody is in.
You're sitting
everybody
out.
Is.
Your bench.
Yeah. And like, they're all like drinking their water. They're not even looking at her. I mean, they are all like as one, like, full tribe squad basically doing like when Michaela sipped the tea as JT was getting voted out, and just like not even looking at her. It was so funny. Beat for beat, moment for moment, thing for thing. The whole thing was tremendous. Nora for president. Nora for life. Nora for queen of the Survivor universe. If we lose Nora this week, if we lose Nora in any of the coming weeks, I'm going to be so upset. She is such a source of joy. She is the source of joy for me right now on this show.
Okay. Wow.
I love Nora. I adore Nora. I adore Nora. I can't get enough. It was so funny to watch Nora with a big room. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, I think she makes it to the merge. I feel good about her ability to go pretty deep. She's just a couple of episodes away. She has to get lucky on a tribe swap, and there we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw that there was a lot of watermelon to be had over on the island of the, yes, I'm almost at edge of extinction. Josh, what's your opinion on watermelon?
I'm fine with it.
Right there. You want to know right now. Before you go any further, this is Wanda, and you're in my arena. If you need to, you can straight up leave here. It would make me so happy for the rest of my life if you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the Wanda. It's the Wanda forever. If you need to, you can straight up leave here.
It's been a long time since I've been surprised by a Wandoff drop. You did it. You got me.
You asked for last week.
I did. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm as excited as Nora was about that plate of watermelon. Yeah. Yes!
You have watermelon, yeah.
Oh, my God. I guess I'll just quickly say, take it or leave it, but, like, a really good watermelon is fantastic, but I think it is very easy, much like the hamburger, to screw up the watermelon.
Screw it up, yeah.
You just get, like, a really, like, wet, sloppy piece of watermelon. You want some...
It needs real to be a little... sloppy for you.
Nice and sloppy for you. Yeah. Lunch lady watermelon is not my favorite.
All right, Josh.
Custodian watermelon is where it's at.
Yes. So for the many of us that follow Big Brother, we've been talking about watermelon for a while this summer. So this is the first chance to talk with you about watermelons.
What was the deal with watermelon and Big Brother?
There was a guy that was obsessed with watermelon on Big Brother this season.
Like he was like super into watermelon, yeah, unironically.
Like he would, yeah, unironically, super into watermelon. Would eat like two or three a day, like ask
two or three watermelons a day.
Yep,
like two or three a day.
Josh, this isn't that's not the most unbelievable thing I could tell you about this guy. Okay.
Two or three watermelons.
Do you know there's also watermelon Instagram accounts also?
That makes some sense to me.
Yeah, I learned that this weekend.
There's like fun photogenic
Morgan
things
Rickey,
to do with
big watermelon person also.
Gina Cruz,
yeah,
a big
Gina
watermelon
Cruz,
person.
Yeah. Watermelon seed spitter, but I wonder if she's out of business with the seed spitting with all this seedless watermelon going on.
Yeah.
All right. Josh, let's talk about last week on The Wandoff, where we had a lot of songs that we listened to, and Casey Kasem, hopefully he's going to do a better job this time around.
Oh, my.
We had a runaway winner with The Wandoff last week.
Oh, okay.
I tell you, it was super tight in week two. In week three, it was a runaway winner. In third place, Legend of The Wandoff, Mr. Alex G with 13%.
Nice.
In second place this week, another Wandoff duo, which is in that bridesmaid category. I don't believe they have a win, but it was close, with a second place finish for Nick Fishman and Aaron Robertson.
Yeah, they definitely don't have a win yet. Famously, they don't yet.
Famously,
God, I'm so sorry,
not
guys.
Yet. But I am excited to tell you.
I didn't mean to laugh at their
about a new. Artist of a freshman artist of the year.
Yeah.
They came in and won the week two Wandoff.
Okay.
And now they've gone back to back. Here's Kiri and Alex with 50.73% of the vote with I Really Hurt My Hand. So great job, Kiri and Alex. You'll be getting a package with two blue hats and two black hats.
Wow. Wow. Holy crap.
Welcome to the Wandoff out of nowhere.
Rising stars of the Wandoff right away.
That's straight new artist 2019.
Double the hat. By the way, Torbjørn Frazier, yes. I believe that is how I pronounce your name. It was so fantastic meeting you at Live KIA, and especially amazing to get a hat from you, sir.
Oh, you got a hat?
I got a new hat. If you see photos of me from the event, there are two things about me that you may notice. Maybe three things. One is I'm heavier now that I've looked in some of my better Instagram photos.
You looked wetter.
I'm yo-yoing. That was the second thing. Oh, my God. I didn't realize. Oh, God. It was very rainy. I had a rain jacket. I thought I was protected. I clearly was not. Every single photo, it looks like I got, like, spot peed upon.
Yeah. I didn't notice it in person, but then when I looked at photos, you're like, Josh got really wet.
Yeah, what a disaster. It's really, really rough. I hate every single photo that I am in from that night. It is painful to look back upon. But the other thing that you'll notice is that Torbjørn decided that the Wigglers Wombats are not a thing, that the hat is not a thing until there are official knockoff black market hats.
What?
So he created a knockoff black market Wigglers Wombats hat that has like a little bit of like a tighter, fatter, smaller, compressed font that is still orange with like a blackish blue hat.
Knockoffs?
But it says Wogglers Wimbats.
Wogglers Wimbats?
Yeah, like it's a misprint. Like it's something you could find in like a back alley somewhere. It's like, hey, you hear about this those Wimbats, those Wimbat hats?
Yeah, are like dollar store Wombat hats?
Yeah, and you think the guy is just like mispronouncing it, but like you know the general idea of what it's like. Yeah, I can get that on a discount. I would do that. And then you go back and it's a misprint and you've already given the money over. They're like, you're not getting the money back.
It's like if your mom gets you Reebok sneakers at the supermarket. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I have a Wogglers Wimbats hat. It's fantastic. It's really my favorite of the hats now. It's really
excellent.
Can you
excellent. Post a picture of it?
I'll do another one. There's some online. I haven't posted anything from the night, but I'll find one or I'll just take a picture with it. But my friend, cousin Ben, who has been on the Succession podcasts over at Post Show Recaps, who is the inventor of the Wigglers Wombats hat, he was over the other day and he looked at it. He's like,
but he's not your cousin. He said that his name is Cousin Ben.
Yeah, there's Cousin Greg on the show, so we call him Cousin Ben to maintain some illusion of anonymity. But we've said his full name on the podcast before. It's really nothing. But he looked at the thing. He's like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
What is this? What is this? What is it with this hat? Mm-hmm. He's very upset to find a knockoff hat as the creator of the Wombats hat.
Oh, my God.
I found it to be amazing. I kind of feel like we should make that the new third layer of the hat.
That like somebody who is a black Wombat hat winner, the next level is...
It's to get like the bootleg hat. The bootleg hat is maybe the best hat. So if Torbjørn's okay with this, I would say let's do it.
Okay. Is that effective this season?
No. We're working on something else right now. We're working on something else right now.
So for instance,
put a pin in that.
All right, Corey B, multiple black hat winner.
If we decide to throw it into the ring this season, maybe. Okay. I don't know. We'll see. We always, you know how this thing always evolves.
Okay. All right. Yes. The game is always evolving. Okay.
Always changing.
Right. A man who's always evolving as well is back this week, and hopefully he's in better spirits. See what I did there?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. I did see
here, it. Here back with us is the late, great legend of the Wandoff, Mr. Casey Kasem. Rob, it is a pleasure to be back. I did not make the trip to New York City for the live know-it-alls.
Yeah, I was really sad that you couldn't make it. I know that you're very busy this time of year. I thought perhaps you'd surprise us with your presence.
It was going to be a lousy weather night, and I didn't want to mess up my hair.
Yeah, the good thing is you wouldn't have shown up in pictures anyway, considering you're a ghost, so it would have actually worked out.
Josh, let's get to this week in the honorable mentions. We're going to kick things off with a newcomer to the Wandoff. Here is VJ Enzo with a song for Nora.
Nora, she's the caller. Nora, the rules say you must choose me as the caller.
Just a quick one to get you warmed up.
Oh, man. Nora, the lie. The lie. Nora. Nora's great. Nora's amazing. Nora said she was going to be a disruptor to this game, that she was going to come to Survivor not knowing a ton about Survivor, and she was going to throw out things that no one has ever seen before. Yeah. She's disrupting, all right, and I love it.
Yeah.
Love every second of it.
We'll keep going talking about Nora. Here is Swaggy P in the morning talking about Nora's mission.
Hey, I just got back, and this is crazy, but here's the rule now.
That was the Canadian pop sensation, Carly Boudre Jepsen. Cebu.
Oh, the Godfather. Oh, Godfather. Oh, man.
Next up, here's Nick Fishman and Aaron Robertson back together to weigh in on Nora.
My booze. Yes.
As I chuck into the snug, Rob and Sandra are who I hug. They give me melon and it tastes so nice. But Sandra, why the small slice? I want to learn a lesson with flashbacks. Even though I can't see them, no.
That's good. Yeah.
That was from an artist known as Teo Dave Cruiser. Josh, next
too
up,
much.
We got a submission not only from an international podcast listener, but also an international podcast player. Here is Jacques Berger.
Whoa, Jacques, what up?
From Survivor South Africa fame.
Yes.
To talk about Nora.
You better choose yourself for the challenge and manage to make sure you don't turn this round out. No, you only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to vote, because the advantage comes once in a lifetime. Yo, you better choose yourself for the challenge and manage to make sure you don't turn this round out. No, you only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to vote, because this advantage comes once in a lifetime. Yo.
That was from the great hip hop artist Eminem.
Emily.
You had to time that really well. That was a feat of editing on the fly, live edit.
Nailed it.
Yeah, you really did. You did a great job, Casey. Jacques, that's amazing. I feel like you got to make a purple hat for Jacques. A purple wombat's hat for Jacques.
Can we do that?
I don't know. I got to talk to Cousin Ben.
Cousin Ben, hat guy.
You know, he's the guy. Yeah. We'll bring him in someday. We'll do like wombat hat development on a podcast.
Put it
watch a Survivor. He's very casual. Mm-hmm. So his thoughts might be interesting.
We've talked a lot about Nora, but there was another topic that the listeners wanted to talk about. Here's Jen from Michigan talking about the male half of Survivor's new showmance, alleged showmance.
Survivor's a game that's a mean, full of loneliness and heartache. You dream of this girl beside you, but there's a million at stake. Just look at your tribe around you and the ones who came before. You might say that she spellbound you, but run or less you're done for. Don't do this, Dean. Oh, Chelsea. I promise it's better after you never met her. Take it from Vicky. We do love Amber and Rob. They have each other for doctors and the money. But if you go with Dalton, the main lady Dalton is you or Chelsea.
That was from Sebastian Noel.
Yeah. Seabass. Seabass, good singer. And learning that on his travels around the world. I guess he's back now, it seems like. That was a great time, though, when him and Jenna were just traveling everywhere. One of the must-follow social media accounts of the Survivor internet, for sure.
Yeah, now they work on a boat. They're in, like...
That's pretty cool, too. That's cool, too.
They're, like, crew people on a boat.
Yeah, but they were, like, in Thailand before I went to Thailand last year. I was, like, kind of, like, trolling on their Instagram. I was like, you guys got any cool, like, food tips? They didn't really have any cool food tips.
What a shocker.
It seemed like they had a good time, though.
Seabass didn't tell you where to get Laffy Taffy in Thailand?
No. I guess I didn't actually reach out. It was more like creeping from a distance, like I often do on social media, just to spoil my habits.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we're all creeping from a distance. I think that's the idea.
Yeah. That's kind of the game, right? Thank you for making me feel better about that.
I mean that in the nice, like, Survivor Australia Luke version of creeping.
Oh, got it. Yeah. Definitely the version that I meant to. Absolutely. 100%.
Josh, next up, here's Robin from Rochester with a song about Josh's winner pick.
March 2019, when the season began. Wiggler and Bloom each shield their own doom. Winner pick time based on idol signs. Now Josh's fate with Chelsea's entwined. She knows it's not right to showmance today, but she's spooning to Wiggler's dismay. Girl gets the boots when there's a pair. If she has a brain and he's kind of a square.
Don't let
your winner pick lie next to Dean.
That's good.
That was from Tata the Bushman.
The whole thing is great. The whole thing is great. All of that is good.
And finally, we
Mr.
have...
Mr. Dean.
A combination of a...
Please, just a glycerine parody every week for the rest of the wand off would be fine.
I didn't know you were such a Bush guy.
Yeah. Let's get glycerine to We Didn't Start the Fire status. Every week that Dean is around, I want there to be a glycerine. It's my request.
I'm not going to play it here also, but add Lady Gaga Bad Romance to the pile.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Yeah.
Josh, we have, for our final honorable mention, a collaboration between three gems of the wand off. Here's Becky and Taylor collaborating with Lindell from Australia.
Yes.
In what I consider to be...
That's a power trio.
One of my favorite wand offs of all time.
Oh my God.
You'll see why.
Here comes tonight's long-distance dedication.
Goes
out to
Chelsea from Los Angeles. She writes,
Dear Casey, there's a man in my life.
My friends think I'm putting Dean before Queens.
Could you please play something appropriate for me?
Well, Chelsea,
here's your request. Na, 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 na.
He'll never love you the way Rob loves Amber, or the way Sandra, she loves Pomeranians. He might be warm at night, but Chelsea, so dull and white, don't kiss him.
He'll wanna see you kiss him.
Do not try. They should have voted him goodbye.
It's amazing.
That was the group Steam Daily.
It's good advice.
All right.
I really get it.
Make sure I'm not used to hearing my own voice on the wand off.
Yeah, do you sound different than you think you do? You know how that's like the thing where, like, inside your head, like, you sound one way, and then you speak out loud, and you hear a recording of yourself, and you don't sound the way you think that you sound. Is that what it's like?
It's exactly what it's like.
Mm.
Next up, we have the top five songs in all of Wombat Nation. We're going to kick things off with a newcomer to the top five. Here is Dave from Ohio with a song for a man that Dave is feeling some compassion for.
Reichenbach, does CBS even cut you a check? When we see the necklace leave your neck, are we still teasing Reichenbach? It's been 22 seasons since we saw that game, yet we still find time to laugh at you. Oh, Reichenbach, you paid your due. Why they play that clip all the time, I couldn't say. Robin Sandra weren't even on that time you played. I just feel bad for Reichenbach.
Beautiful song from the Beat Lils.
Hey,
I like the Beatles.
I saw that movie where they forgot all their songs, and I don't even understand how that would work.
I was supposed to see that movie with you, but you forgot to tell me.
You said you would tell me
when the movie was going. You remember?
Remember?
Why did they throw Reichenbach under the bus again? What the heck?
He really got, like, the longest segment also out of anybody. It was like...
What the hell, Michigan, is the deal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know what they were, why they needed to remind that, and really what they needed to, like, I think that they could have told the story to Nora about how persuasion works without throwing Eric under the bus.
And like what, a year and a half after Probst, like, brings Reichenbach to Los Angeles to publicly apologize to him on stage, and then they just are like, you know what, nah. Throw him back under the bus where he belongs. Lock him up in the freezer with the cream.
We said we would forgive you if we could, and we cannot.
I'm sorry, we could not. Sorry. They put his body in the ice cream freezer like the dead guy in Goonies. He fell off onto Chunk. They had Rocky Road, they had Grape, and they had Reichenbach.
Anthony!
Anthony!
Okay.
Josh. I don't know why we threw that in there, but into it.
Our number two song
Because of Rocky.
Wombat's
Got
Nation.
Got it. Figured it out.
Comes to us from a man who made the top five last week, and he's back. Here's Swaggy J.
Nice. Met Swaggy J. That was really, really fun.
Folks, you're not gonna believe what I got from I. Close your eyes, turn your buffs inside out, yeah. I'll help you win immunity, so don't sit me out.
I'll do it no matter what, I'm not sitting twice.
Don't sit me, cause I'm the caller for our tribe, the caller for our tribe. I might talk too much and I can't keep my hands off the table. I'm not the best with strategy. I'm a young teacher, I like to dance. I'm an early riser. I'm gonna call. There's no stopping me. The caller for Vokai Dan. Watch out for that tree. Make sure you're walking in a straight line. I'm telling you this from behind. You all agree that this is what you want me to do. So don't sit me out. I've got to learn.
can't do them wrong. So don't sit me out.
I swear I'm not crazy.
Don't sit
me out. Can we practice one more time?
I don't want to sit and watch.
Why can't I tell you to sit out?
There you go. That was Swaggy J, a.k.a. The Queen Stays Queen.
Queen. Adios!
And I did go down a YouTube rabbit hole to Don't At Me Meow also after listening to that this afternoon.
Yeah, the logical next place to go.
And the greatest Wandoff music video of all time.
Definitely one of Jason Curtis Rivera's finer works.
Nailed it.
Yeah, absolutely. This is also dumb. That's great.
Josh, the number three song in Wombat's Nation is from a duo out of Boston. They're known as Becky and Taylor.
Yeah.
And they have a song about how to get people to do something that you need them to do.
Well, Becky, looks like everyone's getting Boston Rob to sing on their Wandoffs this season.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy considering we're the ones living in Boston and he hasn't offered to sing for us yet. Oh, someone's at the door.
Who's there?
The Godfather.
Whoa, Boston Rob?
That's me.
Wow.
Wait, who's that with you?
I'm here.
You brought Sandra?
Are you going to sing for our Wanda?
You came to win, right?
Yes.
I can help you guys.
Okay, let's do this.
You ready?
Let's go, let's get it.
Well, listen, you're going to listen to me. This is the way we're going to do it.
Do it now and do it with Sandra.
All right, count us down.
3, 2, 1, go.
Waiting for the Nora TV show to start.
To the island of the idols, Nora goes just because she can. There are two big hens.
I love my total.
And one of them is a handsome man. Nora gets to meet Sandra and Rob. She totally knows who they are. Up in their snug, there's watermelon. How bizarre. Boston Rob with his accent tells her.
The art of persuasion.
It's a critical skill.
She didn't give it much thought.
Nora gets back to the purple tribe. She tells them a poorly worded lie. They've got to choose
the worst caller.
Nora to lead them when they're blind. Nora counts out 10 steps forward. Sucks at this when the challenge starts.
Everyone agrees.
Decision is unanimous. Purple Tribe has made up their minds. They
say, oh, say, oh, the Purple Tribe say,
oh. Oh, God, here we go.
Nora is sitting.
My guy told me to sit out.
It's over. It's done.
Adios.
That was the group, the Banger Wrangles. Auto-tune the Boston Rob. Crowd pleaser. We still got two more to go
in the
top five.
Oh, God, this is tough. So too much.
The number four song in Wombat's Nation comes to us from another Wandoff legend. Here's Corey B. with some more sympathetic words for one survivor.
I watch along with season so long after Probst was done with me.
We have these early dumb moves.
I think I'm finally letting go of my bad play in Micronesia, but how can I forget those girls when they are always flashing back to remind me? Always flashing back to remind me.
But the four remaining women and boo,
they've done it now. A ghostly season all about this move of mine.
Who would fall for that?
But it's all out. I'm feeling free here watching season 39. But here comes Rob. The lesson shows that they are always flashing back to remind me.
Persuading them
should be easy.
I mean,
always flashing back to remind me.
I want to give individual meaning to narrative.
They could show so many bad moves. But it will always be me. At least pay me some royalties.
Welcome to Survivor Season 127, Beach of Blunders.
I want to give individual meaning to narrative.
Seriously? Always flashing back to remind me.
You will officially go down as the dumbest survivor ever. If you don't laugh, you're gonna cry.
That was from the band Naked Eyes OI.
Oh wow, that's great. That's fantastic, man. They really just do Eric so dirty. Do him so dirty. Look, I get like you got to hype up the thing that we can't talk about yet. I get it, but what does he have to do with any of that? Why is he part of the movie trailer?
He's the star of the movie.
Yeah, but he's the star of that movie, but that's not the thing that we're talking about. This is whole thing for.
Eric Reichenbach is playing Survivor again.
Fine, eventually.
He's playing Survivor again. That's what we're... You think we're hyping one thing. We're hyping season 41, Eric Reichenbach Island.
Listen, I'm ready. I am ready. Return of the Reichenbach.
On the giant 25-foot head of Eric Reichenbach as we speak.
Down. I have to calm down. I'm getting the official babe text. I gotta calm down.
Oh.
Just came through.
This comes full circle to the don't at me meow.
I gotta calm down. Gotta rein it in. Oh my god. But they're doing him so raw. Just raw dogging Reichenbach.
Who's gonna be head on Eric Reichenbach Beach of Blunders Island?
It's James. Reichenbach and James.
I guess so.
It's of an era.
Yeah, they're gonna teach you like how to avoid making the mistake.
Yeah. These are the signs that you're about to be medevaced from the game. Keep your wounds clean.
Yeah. Okay. All right, and the number...
It's just so unfair! He didn't do anything! So long ago!
The number 5 song in Wombat's Nation comes to us from our 2-time reigning Wandoff champion from the last 2 weeks.
Wow. Oh, God.
Can they go for 3 in a row?
We got to share the wealth. We got to get other people into this final Wandoff. I'm going to try not to laugh really hard at what is inevitably going to be very funny.
Could they pull off the Alex G. Pete and win 3 weeks in a row on the Wandoff?
All right.
Here's Kiri and Alex talking about Nora.
I've heard some bad lies on Survivor. So Kemp and the neutral box. Tony said he's not a cop. Val told her tribe she had 2 idols. But Nora's persuasion might be coming out on top. Oh, she really swung for the fences, told them total nonsense. Whoa, Fokai had so many doubts, they sat. I've seen on Survivor. She calls herself an intellectual, but everything she utters is absurd. Boston Rob said she's in Nora world. She can't coherently communicate anything to anyone. She shouldn't choose. Also, the worst caller I've seen on Survivor.
That was from the musical talent known as Alicia Keith Nail.
Keith Nail.
To vote in this week's Wandoff, you can cast your vote.
He's spammy.
At robisthewebsite.com/vote Wanda.
Josh, did you see what did the tabulator say about that? There's a new Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Did you see that?
Yeah, I forget what it was, but it sounded like suspiciously like Cherry Hill, New Jersey, whatever the place is. It was like Curry Hill.
Yeah. The tabulator posted in the Robinson Podcast patron group. Move over Cherry Hill, New Jersey, Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts.
Yeah, Chestnut. Yeah.
The tabulator is looking for you.
What's with all of these chills? These CH Hills.
Is that
Wand
a clue?
Off and chill.
Is that a clue? Is it from? Is the person like C Hill?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Charles Hill. We're looking for you.
Also, special thanks to Randy Newpel, who puts together the Wandoff SoundCloud playlist, and Jason Curtis Rivera, who makes all the music videos for the Wandoff. Of course, if you go to robasawebsite.com/patron, you can get access to the Wandoff SoundCloud playlist week after week. Josh, have a great week. I'll be back next time. Don't forget to keep your feet on the ground and keep your hands off the table.
Done.
There
sold.
Boom.
Wow. Peace in the Wandoff this week, too. That was nice that you and Casey were totally calm. Nice. You guys didn't really talk to each other, though, so that's a little awkward.
I spoke with him offline.
I don't believe it.
Yeah. Spoke with him about getting his act together.
This is like The View when they've got like problematic co-hosts who like need to be like kept in separate chambers.
They keep them in chambers? Yeah.
Yeah. I think they have chambers.
Okay. All right. Josh, we still have a lot to do here on this podcast. Of course, this week in Survivor coming up, Jordan Kalish is going to we're going to get him on the line with our special guest Ryan Elder and bring along a friend of his, Brandon Nelson, who they are working on a fan-made Survivor game called Live to Give. We're going to hear from those guys in a couple of minutes. But Josh, I know you have a ton going on right now with in addition to everything you're already doing, I know a lot of Watchmen stuff going on.
A lot of Watchmen. Yes. The Watchmen on HBO has just premiered. It premiered on October 20th. First episode is out in the universe. I'm writing up a storm about it at thr.com/Watchmen. I've interviewed Damon Lindelof. Interviewed Regina King. I interviewed Damon Lindelof.
Have you ever interviewed him before?
I interviewed him a long time ago, very early in my career. Really, really early. I think like the first red carpet I ever did, or like the second or third, really, really young. And I was working for MTV, and it was the final season of Lost, and I was a freelancer, and they knew how much I loved Lost, so they kicked Lost my way, and it was such a dream, but I was such a green writer. If you go back and you find any of that stuff, I'm sure it's terrible. But I was assigned a couple of really fun assignments. There's like a really fun Michael Emerson video that I did back in the day, and there was this Times talk at the Times Center in New York for the final episode of the show that Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse were there, and Jorge Garcia was there as well. And I worked the red carpet, and I asked some really stupid question of Jorge Garcia that I'll never forget. It was like, so what are you gonna do after this? Are you like gonna keep acting? And he was like, well, I'm an actor, so I hope so. I was like, oh shit, I blew a question on Hurley. And then I had this poster that I had
to get.
He's done stuff. He's done a lot of stuff. Don't you dare come for King Hurley. Come on.
I mean, he
is a series regular on Hawaii 5-0. How dare you, sir? Left of his own volition. I'm sure he's got stuff. He's doing fine. He seems happy. Happy time, Hurley. But I had a poster that I had to get signed for a giveaway that we were doing at MTV. I had to get it signed by all three of the people, and I was very nervous, as you know about me. Anxious guy, undiagnosed anxiety at the time. And so I was there on the red carpet, one of the very first ones I'd ever done, and I was like shaking. I was trembling. I was very, very nervous. And at the end of talking to Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse and surviving the interaction, I then presented them with this poster and this really shoddy explanation of what we needed the poster signed for. And Damon Lindelof looked at me and he said, if you just want me to sign a poster for you, man, I'll do it. I was like, I'm so embarrassed. I was mortifyingly embarrassed. So that was my one interaction with him from a decade ago, 10 years ago, yeah,
what about
almost
Carlton
to the day.
Cuse? He seems like more of the stickler. He seems like he'd be like, I'm not signing the poster.
No, he's actually a really friendly guy. I've interviewed him a few times over the years. He's been looped into shows that I've covered for THR. But this was the first time that I'd gotten a chance to professionally cross paths with Damon Lindelof. And it was obviously really, really exciting for me as somebody who loves Lost the way that I do. Hopefully the first of a few times I'll get a chance to hash things out with him. But as nice of a guy as you want him to be, and a really, really intelligent person when it comes to, obviously when it comes to making TV, but talking about TV too, I really think that, like, if he ever decides he just doesn't want to do any of this stuff anymore and make any shows, he really just could get back into the podcast game, and I think that he would kill it. Like, he just, the way that he talks about TV, I'm so hooked into. So it was really, really fun to get to talk to him. A little bit of that interview.
Are you worried that he will start a podcast and of rewatching Lost, so called Lost guys, and then
take it. There's already the Lost boys, so they might be more upset than I will be. No, if Damon Lindelof wants to start a Lost rewatch,
The Office Ladies podcast, Angela and Pam from The Office are watching Office episodes.
No, I'm here for it. If he wants to rewatch Lost on a podcast, yes, please. I don't care. I don't care what it does to Down the Hatch. Down the Hatch can explode like the hatch itself. If it means Damon Lindelof is going to go and revisit Lost and do a podcast for it, yeah, I'll sacrifice Down the Hatch. I'll push the button in a second. I'll turn the key.
I mean, he could do it with Hurley, right?
I mean, yes, he would totally do it. Both of those guys had Lost podcasts. They could reunite, join forces.
Yeah.
I'd love to be involved, guys, if you'd like to call me about this. Like, I think we could talk. I think we could make something work. But a little bit of that Lindelof interview is in my series regular podcast, my Watchmen series regular podcast. We're covering Watchmen weekly over at THR in the post-show recaps style. Antonio Mazzaro and I are diving deep into Watchmen. He's my co-host over there. So if you're not subscribed to Series Regular and you want to hear us take on Watchmen, which I love, I really, really enjoyed the first episode. I'm very excited about this show. I would even if you're not going to watch it, go subscribe to Series Regular and leave a rating and a review.
Why not? What is it going to kill you?
Be very helpful for me. I would really appreciate it. It'd be great. It'd be really great for the job. But I think that you'll be rewarded with great content if you're a Watchmen fan as well. So everybody wins.
Plus, everything that Josh is doing with Mr. Robot and The Walking Dead over on postshowrecaps.com if you want to check that out. All right. And then, Josh, you and I will be back together to talk about the swap next week.
Yeah. Any forward-looking swap predictions you want to do before we sign off here? Who's going to get swap screwed? Do you have a pick?
I don't know. I wonder if we're going to see, you know, more of the same, where we've been seeing a lot of people that would be like potentially like swap screwed people end up voted out before the swap. And I just feel like that's going to continue. I think that, I think that for Lero, I think now that they're down in the numbers, that I feel like that it's probably going to be another Lero person to go. I do think that the Curse of the Orange is going to carry through.
Retire the buff.
Yeah.
It's got to go. You got to throw the orange buff in the fire.
Yeah, because I think that, you know, based on however this is going to break out, I'm assuming they're going to go to two tribes, but I think that you'll probably end up with two groups with less of the orange. And then I feel like that they're going to throw, like, Nora is like a good person where she's like on the outs, but doesn't know she's on the outs. So I think then she'll always like do what Purple is going to keep doing. Like, she's not ready to flip against Purple. They've done a good job of keeping her in the loop. And she thinks
after this last fiasco,
they talked it through with her. I think she's good. Like, I'd be surprised if the Nora ends up flipping on Lyro after, or on Vokai after this swap.
And we think she has her vote going into the next tribal, or was it like your next tribal, you don't have a vote? So if she were to go to
it's
tribal
unclear.
Council
that's
this
one of
week.
The things that I don't love about the season, where we have so much going on with all the different votes and idols, and like who has what and what is active. Like, we need like a scorecard.
Survivor doesn't need to go back to basics, but Survivor needs to like straighten out a little bit, I think. Like, I think, like, you need to remove the island thing from it, and you just need to have one tribe versus another tribe with idols in the mix and come up with some sort of character-based theme if you need to call it something, but don't do anything more than that.
And here's
the island stuff is fun, but, like, this cast would have just carried it for sure.
Let me just give a minor tweak, and this is, like, the easiest thing that you can do. Instead of, like, the next whatever tribal councils, this is good until day 12. You know, just okay. All right, day 12. All right, this is good through day, whatever. I know maybe it's two tribal councils, maybe it's three. Ooh, I don't know what's going to happen. Just give us a day number.
As it is, there's just like too much to track. I think like tracking like the entire meta narrative with Rob and Sandra on top of all of like the individual components that you have to track now, like who has their vote, who doesn't have their vote now, when does that idol expire, is Kelly's idol still good?
Yeah,
like all of that is just it's a lot.
Yeah,
a lot. Or I think it's too much.
You lose your vote until the merge. How about that? Like, let's just keep it like, let's go
danger.
By landmarks instead of
danger.
Like, yeah.
Wow, you lose your vote until the merge is brutal.
Okay,
savage.
So with this pre-merge stuff, it's too hard to figure out. My tribal councils, the total tribal councils. Anyway, Josh Wiggler, follow him on Twitter. He's at Round Howard. And Josh, before I let you go, let me just also quickly mention that we have a survey that we would really appreciate our listeners filling out for Rob as a Podcast and for post-show recaps. It's one of the ways that Podcast One, our podcast network home, is able to match us up with sponsors. And a couple times a year, we get asked to give this link out to our listeners. And if you have a couple of minutes, it's something that you can do, which could really help out the shows here on RHAP and over on post show recaps. podcast1.com/survey is the link. We appreciate it if you take a couple of minutes and fill that out. They're going to ask you about what shows you listen to. We appreciate it if you tell them Rob is a podcast and post show recaps. And then they'll ask you some other questions. I think there's some questions about wine and beer also that they seem interested to, which are also things that people can drink. You can fill that out, tell them stuff about that, and that is all there. podcast1.com/survey. We appreciate it if you take a couple of minutes when you're listening to this podcast to fill that out. And Josh, I'll talk to you soon.
Oh my gosh, this is so much fun. What all a blast we've had today.
Let's do some Twitch.
Let's talk about tweets and take a quiz so we can find out who the smartest one is. What happened this week in Survivor?
Yes, that was Will from America, not
He's
in
back.
The studio this week.
He's
not in the studio this week. Instead, we are going to talk to another one of our friends who has composed many of the RHAP theme songs, in addition to his work in Rick and Morty and all over the place. Please welcome back the co-host of the Snakes, Rats, and Goats podcast, Mr. Ryan Elder. Ryan, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. Thanks for having me back. First of all, that theme song is a total banger.
It's a bop, right?
It's so good. It's such a bop. Yeah. And Rob, I brought a friend with me this time. Is that okay?
Yes, that's okay. Yes. Okay. Tell us about who you brought with you.
So I brought my friend Brandon Nelson. He is the host of a live reality game called Live to Give. He's also the creator of it. And I got to play it this summer, so I wanted to bring Brandon so we could talk about that, because I think it's pretty sweet.
Okay. Welcome, Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here and talk about everything Survivor, Live to Give, all that. So thanks for having me.
Okay. We want to hear more about the live reality game that you guys worked on. But first off, this is an amazing weekend, Ryan, on RHAP, because do you realize that your co-host of the Snakes, Rats, and Goats podcast, which is not currently in production, this is a reunion weekend because Scott Chernoff is going to be on the RHAP B&B this weekend.
Wow.
I did hear that. Yeah, that's awesome. He's going to be great on that.
This is such a weird unofficial reunion. We didn't plan it like this.
I know that you had said this weekend was good for you, and that Mike and Liana do their bookings like independently. This we have like one shared Google document, and we like make sure okay, we're not booking the same person. Okay, not booking the same person, but we nobody thought to say is this good or bad to book the two guys that were hosting a podcast on the same weekend?
Well, yeah, you know. It's probably not bad because we haven't done a podcast together in like a year. So
no, we'll say it's good because we planned it this way. It's a theme weekend.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Yes. We'll take it
for a man that's written many themes.
There you go. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Okay. And Jordan, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. A little tired after a long week of karaoke and know-it-alls and game nights and the ALCS not going the way that I would want it to. But it was fun
for Jordan Kalish this week.
Some very late nights, but I really had a great time at all the know-it-alls and all the know-it-alls adjacent events. Got to meet some RHAP fans that I've never met before. It was always great talking to them, and it's always great seeing the old friends as well that I don't get to see all the time in New York. So I had a really good time and another successful know-it-alls.
Now, we're not going to have a subpar quiz this week because of your social calendar at the know-it-alls week, right?
No, these questions, I believe I finished actually before know-it-alls even started.
Okay. All right. That's good. Brandon, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get started following Survivor?
Yeah, I mean, I've watched it from the beginning, honestly. I the first memory I have of it actually is when Keith won that internet challenge back in Australia.
Oh, yes.
Australia. Yeah, so like that's like one of my first childhood memories. I think I was like 5 or 6, honestly.
Peas and carrots.
I know, right? Before any other memories of my family, it was Survivor. I've been a fan ever since then, and you know, went to college. We had parties every Thursday or Wednesday, depending on, I don't even remember when it switched to Thursday,
Nicaragua.
But I wasn't in college then. But yeah, we had parties every week through Survivor parties, and I brought little casual fans, turned them to super fans, built an army of Survivor fans. And yeah, I don't know. I've just been a super fan for so long. And yeah.
And can you tell us quickly what is the Live to Give? What is the live reality game that you worked on with Ryan?
Yeah, so pretty much it was in 2016, yeah, like the summer before I graduated college, and I've always loved Survivor, I've always loved charity work, philanthropic work, stuff like that, so I was literally sitting at my home bored one summer. I had just got off of playing like a 8-hour Big Brother game, and I was like, I want to do something for charity, and I was like, I can't think of it, and then I was like, I'm just going to put a Survivor game together, I guess, kind of a Survivor-inspired game, so the first year it was just like a 12-hour day one, and that's kind of when I actually was like, I'm gonna see if a Survivor wants to play. I got Ashley Trainer from Survivor Samoa to come and play.
Whoa.
Yeah, she's from like 20 minutes from where I'm from in the suburbs of Minneapolis, so.
A personal trainer for you.
Yeah, right. Literally. No, she's amazing. And then after that, just kind of steamrolled. We pretty much, how it works is, without going into like grave detail, we do a whole casting process. So there's applications, and then each contestant picks a charity to represent. So we drop the cast in like January, beginning of January every year. So each person represents a charity. They raise for about 8 months or so. And they pretty much get advantages in the game for like, if they're in the top three fundraisers, they get advantages in the game. So then they come to the weekend event. We take 400 of what they raised and put it into like a pool of money. So like 20 times $400 is like $5,000. So the winner would get $5,000. So it's kind of like so pretty much, I guess each person represents a charity. They raise for 8 months. They have to raise a minimum of $800 for like the entry, and then they can raise anything over that. And then they play in a wicked 3-day Survivor game. So,
that's a great idea. So you've taken the idea of the, you know, fan-made Survivor season and combined it with this fundraising element. Let me ask you, what if you found like the next Nora
But she stunk at fundraising. She couldn't persuade anybody to give her the money for the fundraising. Would you let it slide if you had a real casting home run?
No. I don't even know how to answer that question. I think I would love to get to know Nora more before we do the application process, I think. We do have that minimum. So, like, in reality, we don't really cater to reality people. We've had reality people. Like, I've had Sunday Burquest on. Brett LaBelle played season 2. McCray from Big Brother. Now Papa Smurf. Gary, he's amazing. He just played with Elder. So we do kind of enforce that. And no one really doesn't raise the minimum of 800 because they have 8 months. So okay. It's like...
Yeah, it's easy, you know? Rob. Trust me. Even okay. Nora could persuade people even, to raise the...
Nora.
Even, yeah. even Papa Smurf was able to do it?
Papa Smurf actually... I'm not going to spoil what happened, but Papa Smurf did really well raising, actually.
Okay.
But, yeah.
All right.
So I want to propose something. I recently did production for a live reality game, and Papa Bear was not a player, but he was actually at the game. You have the Papa Smurf connection. What if we host a live game together? Papa Bear versus Papa Smurf. I think that's what everyone wants to see.
I love it.
He would completely be down for that. Okay. He loves everything, honestly.
I suspect that they would both be very up for that, Papa Bear versus Papa Smurf season. All right, well... Yeah, let's talk about the season that we are watching here. This 4 episodes in, Ryan, and you're not podcasting weekly about Survivor, but are you enjoying Survivor Island of the Idols?
I wish I was podcasting this season because it is hands down the funniest season.
Oh,
maybe
you
ever.
You like it?
I love this season. It's every episode makes me laugh out loud multiple times. There's just something about this season is really working for me, and it comes at a great time because I was actually getting pretty disillusioned about the CBS show.
Yes.
And now I'm fully on board with this season. I was watching it on a flight back from Spain the other day and just totally laughing on the plane like a nutcase. So
yeah. Well, I know that 35 was the one you were really down on. Did you keep up with 36, 37, and 38?
Oh, yeah. You know, okay. I got to watch it. It's okay. Still good. You know, I always say it's like pizza. Even when it's bad, it's still good.
Yes. Yeah.
That's like Twitch. That's what they say about Twitch. Even when the questions are bad, it's still good.
Is that what they say?
Yeah, there you go.
That's what I said. I haven't read that. Okay. So... Brandon, have you thought about, instead of having some of these Survivor alumni play in your games, have you thought about instituting an Island of the Idols where we could see Papa Smurf impart advice on the Survivor players?
If you put Papa Smurf on Island of Idols, every time the person came back, they would go home next. I would never put Papa Smurf on Island of Idols. But I mean, if you want the entertainment value of, you know, Nora on Island of Idols, Papa Smurf is the one to put on it.
What, he doesn't have good advice?
I mean, Elder played with him. Elder can, I guess, tell you if he would have good advice or not.
Oh, man. The first episode's been out for over a month now, so I'll just talk a little bit about playing the game with Papa Smurf. Let me just say, Papa Smurf, he shoots from the hip. He plays very aggressively, Rob. He was pretending like he had an idol from basically the first minute of the game. And it drew a lot of attention onto him that maybe didn't need to be on him, but yeah, it was quite fun. He was great to play with. Very fun guy, had a lot of great stories. And we had fun playing.
Okay. Well, we saw, as this is a podcast where we're talking about This Week in Survivor and obviously Survivor history, Ryan, we had a lot of flashbacks on the Island of the Idols this week where Boston Rob and Sandra were sort of describing to Nora in this lesson about persuasion, all the different ways that a survivor can persuade another one. And we really did like a whole deep dive into what persuasion is and how it gets used on the show, all for Nora to be the caller in the blindfold challenge. And what I want to know from you was, did you enjoy this walk down memory lane?
I did, actually. Poor Eric, though. Just always. I feel like every flashback on the show now is of that moment. Mm-hmm. But I liked it. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was really effective, too. Like, showing these really key moments And I don't know what the casual fan watching it would even think, like, or someone who never watched those seasons. But for me, I was like, it was fun seeing those moments because I haven't watched those seasons in a while. And then also, like, they were really effective at explaining Boston Rob's point, I thought.
Jordan, I would love to get an official count somewhere of that. Maybe, I don't know who would do this, if anybody is ever going to do a full rewatch again, how many times, like, what moments has Survivor flashed back to the most times in terms of, like how many times has the Eric Reichenbach clip been shown on the episodes?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it would even really take a full rewatch, right? Because besides, like, this season, Ghost Island, did they do any, I guess in the first episode of Cambodia, I feel like they maybe did some flashbacks to the people's seasons who were on that show. But it wouldn't even really take that complete of a Survivor rewatch. It's not something they do, but I think it was really great this episode. And, you know, it's sort of right up my alley. I'm someone who loves Survivor history. And, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably somebody who kind of loved seeing the flashbacks last night. And it was especially great in Caroline's because we were in a room of super fans watching old clips from the show. I wonder how the general audience took it, but, you know what? I don't really care. So it was fun for us.
You loved it.
Oh yeah, it was great.
You loved it. Yeah. Okay. So, Ryan, do you have any favorites this season?
Well, I mean, I love Nora. I love any character like Nora. You know, Coach is my all-time favorite.
Yes.
Character. So, players like Nora that are not very self-aware are just my favorite type of player to watch. But in terms of, like, strategic gameplay, I really liked Kelly hiding the idol in her hair was amazing. Mm-hmm. I thought that was, I can't believe no one's done that before. Am I wrong? No one's done that before? That's really good.
I don't think anybody's ever thought to do that. I think that's a first.
Super smart. I loved that. I'm assuming you've talked about this many times on the podcast, but they must be telling them they have to lie about Rob and Sandra because nobody has done what I would do in that situation. One of my things about, because I've played a few live reality games now, one of my big number one rules is don't lie about anything that can be proven or disproven.
Oh, interesting. Like, so give me an example. What's something that you can lie about?
So you can,
like, I have an 820 credit score.
Right. Exactly. That's a great thing. Like, nobody in the game knows what my credit score is, so they're not going to call me on that. Right. Or, you know, not that I would. That's a weird thing to lie about regardless. So, but yeah, so, like, you know, anything in the game that, no one would know, like whether or not you have an idol or something like that, that's totally fine to lie about. But, anything that later will be proven to be false,
right.
I just don't think you have nothing to gain.
Anything that you can then later be diagnosed with liabetes.
Right. Exactly.
I made that up.
If there's a rule that saying that the contestants can't come back and talk about Rob and Sandra, aren't they being sort of pushed into a corner where they have to tell a ridiculous lie that's going to be disproven later on? Because at some point, everyone's going to know. Like, yeah. Later on in the game, everyone's going to know. So I don't like policing what survivors could say on the show. I do think that Nora could have obviously handled the situation better. And maybe, look, she knows people are going to be blindfolded. Why couldn't she have just said, like, oh, the things that we have to get are going to be closer? And then they would probably never really figure that out. Once the blindfolds are off and the challenge is over, they're probably not even paying that close attention to the course. So I think that would have been a better lie.
Can you explain that to me? The things we have to get would be closer.
So they have to send the people into the course. So yeah, the course would be closer for the, or easier for the Vokai tribe than it would be for Lyro, because by the time the challenge is over and everything's done and one tribe wins, you're probably not going to be paying too much attention to the actual course of the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It's not perfect, but I think it's a better lie.
Yeah, I mean, they're not blindfolded on the truck over. You know, they get there, they probably get to scope out the course. And
Do they get to see the course before a blindfolded challenge?
Yeah, I think that they probably don't get to, I mean, you go back and watch the episode, like, they're standing in front of it with that, and they don't have blindfolds on.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Well, the, the most awkward thing about the Island of Idols, which I want to know about, is like the whole, like, Noora knows that Kelly had something there. So it's this awkward knowledge of information that, like, you had, like, that sixth scent, like, oh, you were there too, but we're not going to talk about it. And then Noora blatantly lies, and Kelly obviously knows that, like, she was given something there.
I suspect, I mean, it seems like they would have shown it because it would have been good TV, but don't you think Kelly could just be like, guys, she's obviously lying. I went there. I know what it's like.
Yeah, I think that she could say that, but then I think then people start asking questions about Kelly's story also.
That's true, yeah.
You know, Ryan, one of the great bits that you guys did on the Snakes, Rats, and Goats podcast is when you would bring on a friend who has never seen an episode of Survivor and get their reaction to what was going on. What do you think would be the reaction of a person who has either not seen since the first season or does not follow Survivor when they see what the Island of the Idols is?
This is why I wish we were podcasting this season, because honestly, I think we would probably spend a half hour per episode talking them through why there are giant wooden heads on the island, or stone, or whatever they are, because it's so absurd. And like, to someone who's never seen the show, they like, you don't know, if you're watching an episode out of context, you don't know what the Island of Idols is. You don't know who Rob and Sandra are. And so someone walking up and seeing those heads, the viewer would just be like, what the hell is this? It's insane. I wish we had, we were able to talk about it, because there would be a lot of incredulous guests, I think, this season for sure.
Yeah, people would be wondering, well, who are these people? What are they?
Yeah, exactly.
What is this? Like, oh, they're just the best. They're the best players. They live on, like, yeah. Do they live on this island? Why do they have so much watermelon? why do they have so much watermelon?
Yeah, that watermelon was very strange.
Yeah. Did either of you have a problem with the watermelon at the Island of the Idols? Because I had somebody come up to me on Wednesday night and say, this is blatant production interference. They fed Noora.
Who cares?
I mean,
they probably gave it to her to boost her the way she was, like the way that she ended up acting. They were like, oh, if we give her some sugar, she'll act like Noora.
Yeah, that's all she needed, just to get some watermelon. What I've learned this summer is that CBS has no problem giving reality show contestants watermelon if they want it. They can have, you can have unlimited watermelon. All you have to do is ask for it on CBS reality TV.
Going all the way back to Survivor Amazon, they had the two youngest contestants, Dave and Jenna, who it wasn't even random. They knew who they were sending there. They sent them to sleep in a bed overnight and have a full meal. I mean, that's much better than a watermelon. So I think we're really nitpicking at something that's not such a big deal. If she's
have
just
you ever
eating
had
a slice
ice
of watermelon.
Cold watermelon, Jordan?
Yeah, of course. Okay. I've been to a barbecue.
Okay.
It's good. It's good, but it's not a meal.
Okay.
Well, yeah, watermelon does not have a lot of calories. I think, you know, it probably lasted her a couple hours at best.
Ryan, I know a guy who could eat three in one day.
Oh, my gosh.
And sometimes in the shower. It's incredible.
I get that reference.
Okay, good.
Maybe that's why his face was so red at the Big Brother finale.
Well, maybe. Okay. All right. You guys want to talk about some social media, Ryan? Yeah, I hope that you're happy with what we've been doing here for the social media segment. Of course, you were the original composer of our tweets jingle. It all started way back when once upon a time you made a song about Baylor and her feet.
Survivor tweets. They're better than Baylor balancing things with her feet. Tweets.
I believe that was the first one, right?
That was the first one. Yep. Little did I know that it was going to be.
And for years, you made one every single week. One day you finally came to your senses and said, "What am I doing with all this time?"
Rob, really what happened is I just ran out of words that rhyme with tweets. So.
Yes. All right. Well, luckily, we've been very fortunate that one of our listeners, Jacob Sager Weinstein, has picked up the mantle and he has continued to honor your tweets jingle. And here is this week's entry.
Tweets, baby, tweets. When your tribe color's orange. Okay, here's the deal. I have this amazing rhyme for orange that I've been given, but I'm not allowed to tell you what it is unless you all unanimously vote to make this rap your ringtone. I'm sorry, that's just the rules. Are you all okay with that? No? Okay, then. Tweets.
Notorious JSW strikes again.
Yes.
Amazing.
I like that one.
Jordan, you're okay with that?
2 weeks in a row, JSW's done a great job.
Okay, all right. I feel like that there's
he has
like,
to sit out. He has to sit out.
I feel like that's a brewing rivalry between Jordan Kalish and Jacob Sager Weinstein.
You know what? There was a potential 2 weeks ago when I dissed his rhyme that he may have become one of my ops, but I feel like it's gone in the opposite direction now, and we're all good.
Okay. Brandon, are the contestants allowed to tweet about Live to Give? Is there any social media blackout?
Yeah. Well, they sign the NDAs when they get there.
Uh-oh.
So like they kind of, it's just as like when it comes out is when they can talk about like what's been up to that point. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you won't hear any spoilers from me on my Twitter, Rob.
Yes. Okay. Well, look, this is a big problem.
Elder also forgot to mention that he had a Tweets Baby Tweets confessional that he
That's
was.
Right.
I don't remember exactly what he said at the end of it, but I know the producer made him do it. So it's
Rob, I shot you out in the first episode.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I was watching some of it, and it looks really good, and I did not know that Papa Bear was in it, and I was like, that guy looks really Papa familiar. Smurf. I'm like, is he one of the fans? I feel like I've seen that guy somewhere before. And then I realized it was there he was.
Yep, Papa Smurf. He went to his first ever tribal council. He was on Survivor, was in many episodes, but never went to tribal council to give.
Well, and his all-time moment was from the gross food eating challenge when Jeff Probst said, Papa Bear, he's eating snouts like he's done it every day of his life.
Papa Bear, Papa Smurf?
What did I say?
You said bear.
But I think that basically you can interchange them, right?
I guess. I mean, Papa Bear has been to tribal council outside of LRG.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Okay. But yeah, Papa Smurf is from Survivor Fiji, now where the permanent home of Survivor.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Was the Ryan, was the Tweets Baby Tweets line that you used? Tweets Baby Tweets, I'm faster than a jet ski. I think I'm going to vote for Gary Strayetsky.
Yeah. By the way, here's
nice.
Here's that Papa Smurf quote.
Hammering that snout down.
Yeah.
I love that you have that.
Starting on his second snout.
Oh, well, you'll have to tune in and see if he makes it to another gross food challenge and lives to give this season.
Okay. All right. Some survivors were tweeting for Eric Reichenbach. Does Eric Reichenbach at least get royalties? That's what Gabby Pascuzzi was saying.
He does, but he gives them to Natalie Bolton.
No, they just they just like to kick Eric while he's down. It's tough. Davey said, finally watching yesterday's episode, LOL, can you please leave Eric alone, please? Yeah. And Lear said, it's overrated, man. They need to let it go. So many other examples, and they bring this one. I don't know. I kind of feel like if you're Eric, like it's FaceTime.
He seems to have a good attitude about this.
Yeah, you got to embrace it. There's nothing else you can do, right?
Like, I don't think he's not embraced it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's been on like 7 seasons now.
Yeah. Dale Wentworth, FarmGuy69, he says, it just hit me. Nora is Debbie 2.0. She just needs to get a longer job history. Where has Dale been this last month? This is just, he just got to this 4 episodes in. This is Debbie 2.0.
Auditioning for the cold takeoff.
Yeah, that's bordering on a Rupert tweet.
Yeah.
Jordan, I know you, I saw you tweeting with the Rupert bot. The Rupert bot
gone rogue. Really went, well, yeah, I think the Rupert bot is a little bit broken, maybe in a dark place right now.
Yeah, Ryan, do you know about the Rupert bot?
Oh yeah, I think I was on your show once where I had to determine whether something was a Rupert tweet or a Rupert bot tweet, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, let's see if you could guess what this one is that Rob has.
No, the Rupert has really, the Rupert is out of control. The Rupert tweets, Rupert tweets all year round, like all during Big Brother on Wednesday nights. Like he's still tweeting about Survivor every couple of minutes. He's tweeting out really crazy stuff. So yeah, this week I saw that the Rupert bot, I don't know if it's getting smarter or he's getting dumber. I'm not sure which one it is, but this was Rupert Bot from the other night. At Rupert said, "I was ready to kill Kelly and literally grab that little scrawny ass by the neck and pop his head off like a expletive censor chicken."
What? I love the expletive censored in the parentheses. he doesn't want to curse, but he does want to threaten to kill a Survivor contestant.
In a very graphic manner.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't even know what part of the episode he was watching when he was saying that. Maybe he's a big Nora fan and he did not like what was saying. But I think that the Rupert bot is getting worse at tweeting.
I'm worried that the Rupert bot's going to get canceled at some point.
Yeah, I think it's time to unplug the Rupert bot. I don't know if we have a vote. I think that we can unplug it. Brandon, what about the real Rupert? Would he play Live to Give?
I have no idea. I don't even know how. I have no clue. Maybe.
I think he would do it.
I'd love to see it. I would love to see how he would do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
he could do it for Rupert's kids.
I'd vote him out right away.
Why? There should be my giant head out there too.
There's no body of water to fish in, so I'm not sure he'd be any useful. Oh,
there's no. What about the lakes?
Yeah, well, there's plenty of lakes, but none that were near where our camp was.
Oh, so. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Survivor Israel had a big body of water, and he was still useless on that one. So, I mean, I think he's lost a little bit in that area.
Okay.
No, I would try to make an alliance with him, of course.
Yeah.
Me too.
Such a good
He's show. Loyal. He's very loyal.
He is loyal. But then the Twitter beef of the week came from a man no stranger to Twitter beefs. Joe Mena got on Twitter this week, and he is not impressed with this season of Survivor. And he's watched four episodes, and he took to Twitter to say, so there's a hashtag going around. Hashtag don't sleep on 39. No worries. I have been asleep since season 32. I woke up briefly for season 35 and went right back to sleep. It's going to take season 40 to wake me up. Facepalm emoji, shrug emoji, no blue cat. Is that a wombat's hat? I don't know whether it's a hat. It's a blue hat emoji. I'm not sure what that necessarily means. It might be a wombat's hat. So Joe Mena planted his flag. No fan of season 39. And then here came the cavalry. And all of the season 39 players came to Joe Mena and with the hashtag don't sleep on 39. Some other Jamal had some words that I can't repeat here on this podcast. Jason Linden said only babies sleep that much. And the Survivor 39 contestants versus Joe Mena is on.
I got to say, if I had to pick a side here, I mean, he's a guy who's coming from Survivor 35, which I think there have been plenty of seasons since Survivor 32 that have been better than 35. And I'm really enjoying this season. So I'm with the don't sleep on 39 crew here.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, 39 is, I've already said, you know, it's amazing. This is the best season in a long time. So yeah, he should not sleep on 39. I think maybe he's not giving it enough of a shot.
Did
Joe Mena not watch Millennials versus Gen X or David versus Goliath?
I don't know if he did or not. I know that he's 0-6 in my fantasy football league with the Survivors, and he has stopped updating his team. So he might be sleeping on that also. So Joe Mena is very well
sleeping
rested.
On the waiver wire?
Yeah. He's asleep at the waiver wire. Also, yeah, Johnny Fairplay also added. He's with Joe Mena. He says, this season snoring emoji, it's almost like a suicide mission to kill my podcast.
Oh my gosh.
So boring. You know, they say it's so boring.
It's hard to comment on comedy, right? Like, it's hard to make fun of a comedy because
I love comedy.
You can't get on it for being bad when it's funny. So I guess maybe if I had to make fun of the show, like if my point of view was that my job is to make fun of the show, it would be harder this season because it's funny. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like how on Mystery Science Theater, they rarely did comedies because they're hard to make fun of.
Yeah.
So maybe that's it. Maybe I'll just give them the benefit of the doubt and say that, but
it's too funny. That's why Joe's not enjoying it.
Well, maybe it's too funny. Maybe that's why Fairplay can't podcast about it. I don't know.
Yeah. Two other things. There was also a response from Dean Kowalski. D, so you a Dean guy?
I would say that I am. He's growing on me. Growing on me. The first two episodes, obviously, we didn't see him. I don't know how great of a player he is, but if he's going to keep making faux pas like the split the vote thing in front of the rest of the tribe, I'm for it.
Tell me if he's growing on you more when I tell you that his Twitter handle is at DK Chillin.
DK Chillin. At DK Dean Kowalski Chillin.
Very on brand.
I mean, that would be his Twitter account. It's fine. It works for him, I think.
Brandon,
I like
you
it.
Like DK Chillin?
Yeah, I'm chilling with it. It's fine with me. I mean, was rooting for Chelsea, so I'm kind of on the anti Dean side right now, because if he wasn't there, she would have gone home.
Jordan, do you think that Dean is a Peter Harkey fan? Think that's a callback to the original Survivor who was chilling?
Yes, and Dean is he's with all the holes. He loves
easy. Jordan, come on, Ryan. What are you gonna say?
I was gonna say I'm in a Survivor fantasy league, and I couldn't make it to the draft, so I was randomly assigned Dean. And he's great. I'm kind of happy that I have him. I have a feeling he'll be around for long enough to get my hopes up, but I doubt he'll win.
Okay. Well, he piled on Joe Mena also with hashtag don't sleep on 39. But he used an emoji that I might need to call Mike White to know what emoji this is. If anybody can go and tell me what emoji this is, it looks like it's the emoji of nighttime in the city. I've never seen this emoji before.
Like nighttime in the city?
Yeah, I think so. Because it's nighttime, don't sleep on 39, but I don't know what that emoji... Tell me if anybody can tell me what that emoji is and why. I've never seen it in the history of Twitter, that
only
emoji.
Only Dean has
used.
It. Okay. It's only on Dean's phone.
Only on Dean's phone. He invented it.
Well, he works for Google, right? So maybe he could invent his own
access.
Emojis.
Yeah, he has access for all the new emojis. Maybe that's one of the new ones. Okay. All right, Joe Mena had to then... blue hat in hand. Then he said to everybody, my number 39 people, relax. There's no way you can F this up following a season like 38. Hold up. I'm lying. Look what 35 did after 34. So there's a chance you can F it up. Let the biggest F ups win. A dub is a dub. What is a dub? Like a win?
A win is a win.
Right?
Which Joe Mena has zero of in the Survivor Fantasy Football League. Zero dubs. Okay. And then Joe was still going on. He said, damn, 2019 mofos get softer and softer by the minute. We don't always have to agree on everything. I'm a fan of the show before a Survivor player. I say stuff how I see it. No shots at anyone. All contestants are great in real life, but it's a 40-minute show with an edit. Hashtag wake me up.
So, all right. The Joe Mena is still not impressed.
Yep. Yeah.
I like that Joe Mena and Ellen DeGeneres making the same points. You could be friends if you don't agree on stuff. It's very interesting.
Even if he thinks everything is boring, then you could still be friends with people. All right. And then on a happier note, okay. Jonathan Penner, we'll close it out with Penner. He tweeted out, "Nice to see myself on Survivor 39. Obviously, they are preparing the viewers for next season, Survivor Bollocks Island, where I mentor people in antagonism, injuries, and fatal unforced errors. They end the season by burning my big head to the ground." So, all right, there you go.
That's a hell of a tweet.
That's a hell of a tweet. Okay. All right. Let me just thank our sponsor for the podcast before we get to our This Week in Survivor History quiz. Those are our friends over at Sharper Image who bring the calming comfort weighted blanket. Now, Brandon, do you guys have comfort luxury items in Survivor or in Live to Give?
I mean, if they win it, it's like a $5 Walmart one.
Oh, wow.
Well. Not a nice weighted blanket.
Yes. I mean, you would have people doing backstabbing left and right if you had a reward, which was the Common Comfort weighted blanket, because not just on Survivor, but plenty of people in real life have lots of trouble sleeping. And we're not even talking about all the troubles that Tommy has staying asleep at night. But there's no need to suffer through another sleepless night with the Calming Comfort, the luxurious weighted blanket that helps you relax so you can fall asleep and stay asleep naturally, just like Joe Mena. Joe Mena doesn't have to watch Survivor anymore, that he could just get the Calming Comfort weighted blanket because it is going to give him that experience of being hugged, cuddled or swaddled, just like when Lindsay Richter never had that feeling, right, Jordan?
Nope, she never did, and unfortunately, sorry, I was
you're tuning out during the commercial.
No, I was looking at my notes. I wanted to make sure all my notes were in front of me.
Come on,
don't leave it in. I'm looking at my Twitch notes. I have an excuse.
Look alive over there. All right. The Common Comfort weighted blanket makes you feel like you're being hugged. It's as soothing for adults as it is for children. And the Common Comfort applies a even amount of pressure all over your body to simulate deep touch pressure stimulation. You're going to sleep great. My wife swears by the Common Comfort weighted blanket that she loves it as the weather is getting colder. You curl up in the Common Comfort weighted blanket and you will be out like a light. Help reduce stress and help reduce anxiety too. You'll wake up feeling refreshed, and they've got a great offer for you. The Common Comfort weighted blanket comes with a 90-day anxiety-free, stress-free, best night's sleep of your life guarantee from Sharper Image. Right now, just for our listeners, you can go to Common Comfort Blanket. Use promo code Rob at checkout to get $15 off the displayed price. Again, that's commoncomfortblanket.com. Promo code Rob, and because you can't put a price on a great night's sleep, go online now at commoncomfortblanket.com. Use promo code Rob for your special discount today.
Twish.
All right. Jordan, you're with us.
I'm with you. Okay. I have my notes in front of me. Everything's right. Correct.
All right. So, how's this going to work? Is this a tag team battle? Who am I facing today?
I don't know. We were discussing the possible options before the show. We can have Ryan has been a contestant on Twitch. He can do it again. We have Brandon here, and he could potentially be a first time contestant on Twitch. They could be a team, or maybe one of them could be a phone a friend for the other one. It's many options. What do you guys want to do?
How about this? Since last time I was on, I got every question right and I beat Rob. Mm-hmm. I'd like to keep my records in place and have now, Brandon.
Is that compete. Actually what happened, or are you messing with us?
No, I really think if I remember it correctly, that's what happened. But maybe I'm just telling stories to myself. In any case, why doesn't Brandon compete? He is a super fan. He's been watching since he was 5 years old. And how about this? I could be a phone a friend for both of you.
Okay.
Okay. Interesting.
All right. And you would give me the right answers? You wouldn't just be...
Of course. Rob, you're both my friends.
Okay. Mm.
This is the guy who just said he would vote out Rupert first. I don't know about this.
Yes.
I cannot trust him.
I'm going to ask Papa Smurf if I can trust Ryan Elder.
How about this? If I give one of you the wrong answer, I'll be sure to give the other person a wrong answer too.
Okay. All right. Well, this has been something we've been thinking about introducing, because we have a lot of people that we've tried to get as guests, and they say, I don't want to do the quiz. So the idea of a pinch quizzer is something that we're playing with, just like Major League Baseball is thinking about, like, oh, why don't we just start the 11th inning with people on first and second? Extra in that we're playing around with stuff.
Yeah. Which right. I'm Perfect. For the record, very, very, very against. But I think for Twitch, we could mess with the format and it doesn't counteract 100 years of history here.
Yes.
So
I think we're fine here on Twitch. Okay.
No, come on.
All right.
This is the podcast that brought you bait Blake. So okay. Yeah, nothing sacred.
Brandon, do you know how the game works?
Not 100%. I was kind of talking a little bit about it by Elder, but yeah.
All right, so for the next 20 minutes, I will explain the rules of this Week in Survivor History game. I have four multiple choice questions. Each of you will get to answer two questions. If you choose to hear the multiple choice options and you are correct, you get 1 point. If you're wrong, your opponent cannot steal if you're only going for one. However, you can forego the multiple choice options. And if you are right, you get 2 points. However, if you're wrong, your opponent will have a chance to steal. Then we have a final round in which both players are able to gain points. And I'll explain the rules to that when we get there. And I think for Ryan Elder, for the phone a friend, I'm thinking the phone a friend should only be eligible for the multiple choice part of the game.
Yeah,
so each of you get two multiple choice questions. On one of them, you can each use Ryan. Okay.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Perfect.
All right. So Brandon, the four categories correspond to the four questions. You're the guest, so you're going to be able to choose your category first. Okay. We have Ricky Ain't the Only Morgan. I Cut, You Pick, From Two Tribes to Three, and This Is Not an Advantage.
Let's do From Two Tribes to Three.
Okay, so we're going to go pretty recent here. We're going to Survivor David versus Goliath. Who is the only person still in the game who is not assigned to a tribe during the David versus Goliath tribe swap? You may use your phone a friend on this. You don't have to. You can also choose to hear the multiple choice options if you want them.
So I'm just counting the new tribes. As Angelina, Mike. Let me phone a friend.
What?
Okay, so we have
Well, you gotta give us the choices then, right?
Yeah, but what's the multiple? Here, let me actually.
So
give
you
the multiple
so here's
choices. Here, yeah, let me get the phone a friend.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're gonna hear the multiple choice, which means Rob will not get to steal a point, but the most you could gain is 1 point on this question. We have A. Alec Merlino, B. Bean Nguyen, C. Carl Boudreau, D. Davey Rickenbacker.
It's B. B win. Do I just answer it?
Yep.
You can answer. You could consult with your phone friend.
B. Lock it in B for B.
B being the win. The key phrase in this question was who was the only person still in the game? Being the win was medevac. Quit. Before the that tribe swap. It was actually Carl Boudreau who got to go off to Exile Island where he got the idol nullifier.
And he voted Davey's tribe.
Yeah. Okay. And that should have been C, Cebu. B, B, and C, Cebu.
It was B, B, and C, Cebu. And D, Davey, and A, Alec. I did that on purpose. Okay, so unfortunately...
You called him Cebu. You called him Carl.
I did call him Carl, but he is Cebu. As we found out from Gabby Pespuki, yes, he is Cebu.
Okay.
So 0 points there. Rob, it is your question. You have Ricky Ain't the Only Morgan, I Cut, You Pick, and This Is Not an Advantage.
This is not an advantage.
Okay, so we are going to go to a season of Survivor that we have spoken about a little bit today. Heroes, Healers, Hustlers. At the Tribal Council in which Devin's vote was canceled by Jessica, whose two votes were negated by an idol?
whose two votes were negated by an idol. Okay, I will say then, boy, this is a tricky.
Can you hear the options? You can phone a friend.
Scrap paper. And then, okay. I will say then it was... I'm going to go out on a limb. Okay. I'm going to go and try to give it to you. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say Alan Ball and Ashley Nolan.
Let me just specify the meaning of the question.
Okay.
Whose two votes, as in the person who received the votes?
Oh,
the answer is one contestant. I believe this was just a semantics thing where you're guessing who cast the votes, which I guess per the wording of the question would also make sense. So who received two votes that were negated by an idol? The answer is going to be one person's name. Desi is incorrect. So, Ryan, you have a chance to steal a point here.
Brandon.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Brandon is the player, not Ryan.
He doesn't get multiple choices. Right?
I think we're going to get some emails on this one. This is we are in the Kalish zone, and Ryan Elder, we need a jingle for that. Okay. You're in the Kalish vortex right now. I am sucked in.
Yes, but you were wrong. I think it would have been more controversial if you were right, because I did rescind your answer because I clearly was able to tell that you did not understand the wording of the question. But Brandon does have a chance to steal a point. So Brandon, I will read the question again. At the tribal council in which Devin's vote was canceled by Jessica, whose two votes, and by that I mean the person who received two votes that were negated by an idol.
I want to say, I think it was Joe. Wasn't it Joe?
It was Joe, and you get a point there. Yeah, that was where Alan Ball went home. There were only four votes cast at the tribal because Devin's was canceled. And yes, Joe Mena had two votes negated by an idol.
I think
place.
I answered exactly the question that you asked.
I disagree.
You answered one interpretation of the question you asked.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, he's still got, like,
let,
so you,
I love
when
the
someone
listeners
gets
decide.
Votes on Survivor.
I don't know that whatever the listeners say.
Okay, that was the trouble where Joe got really cocky, right? Because he had just successfully played that last one.
Yeah, and he wasn't asleep that night. Before. Yeah.
Right.
But Rob, do you know for sure you were correct based on your interpretation of the question?
No.
Because if you were, then it would be
Ashley,
travesty.
Ashley Nolan and Alan Ball, I believe, were the two who did vote for Joe Mena. But then you thought it was Desi Williams. So I thought he played the idol.
I told you the two people that voted for him. I thought that maybe they wrote Desi down. And he played the idol for her.
But look, you've played this game enough times that when the answer are two people's names, I specify that the answer is two people's names.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a thing.
All right.
Okay, so Brandon, you have a 1-0 lead. It is your turn to answer a question here. We have I Cut, You Pick, and we have Ricky Ain't the Only Morgan.
Let's do Ricky Ain't the Only Morgan.
Okay, so we are going to Survivor Pearl Islands.
Yes.
In this episode, the Morgan tribe won its only reward of the season. Who from Morgan raided the Drake camp taking their rice? And you've used your phone a friend, so you have to answer this one by yourself.
Was it Tawana?
It was not Tawana. So, Rob, you have a chance to steal a point.
Could you repeat the question one more time?
Yes. In this episode, the Morgan tribe won its only reward of the season. Who from Morgan raided the Drake camp taking their rice?
I'll say Andrew Savage.
Andrew Savage is correct. Rob, you get a point, and we are all tied up here. Good job. Yeah, Andrew Savage, Uncle Andy, rated the camp.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, Rob, it is your question. This is the final multiple choice question. You can still use your phone a friend here.
Okay.
The Vanuatu tribe swap consisted of Scout dividing two new tribes and Sarge selecting which tribe would be his. Who was the first person voted out after the swap?
I am going to say that it was Bubba.
For 2 points, Bubba is correct. Rob, you take a 3-1 lead going into the final round.
But Rob.
Very good job. Yeah. Yeah, Bubba, it was Bubba who was voted out before the great Lisa Kiefer and John Kenny. Brady Finta would have been the other choice for the multiple choice, but he was before the swap. Good job. Yeah, Bubba caught trying to communicate with his former tribe members, and he got voted out. So we're going to the final round. And for the final round, you're each able to gain points. There are going to be 4 points available. If we're still tied at the end of that, we will go to a tiebreaker. The way this is going to work, I am going to give you a Survivor season, and I'm going to tell you who was voted out at the Tribal Council this week in Survivor history. Your job is to tell me the other person. It's going to be one person who received votes at that tribal. Actually, in all these cases, it was somebody who received 2 votes at the Tribal Council. So, Brandon, you are trailing 3-1. Rob has the lead here, so you're going to go first. I first need you to give me... Oh, and the way that this works, if you get this wrong, you actually can't gain any more points in this round. So if you are wrong on this question, Rob automatically wins the quiz. So I need you to give me a number from 1 through 4.
Gosh. Let's do 3.
Three. Oh, I was hoping you'd choose 3. 3, we have Survivor Guatemala, and the person who was voted out was Blake Towsley, who was the other person who received votes.
I want to say it was Margaret. Was it Margaret?
Margaret, unfortunately, is not correct. It was the originator of the bait Blake strategy and former Twitch contestant Brian Corden got 2 votes there. Brandon Bellinger was the other person who voted for Brian. So unfortunately, Brandon, you lose the quiz 3-1.
Look, first time learning about the Twitch quiz, you got to know your Guatemala trivia.
And Stephanie is my favorite contestant of all time, so I feel dumb.
Well, it always comes down to Blake Towsley with Jordan.
Talking about Stephanie, Rob, Stephanie Dill would have been your next one on Survivor Thailand. Who would you have said for Stephanie Dill? Who got 2 votes at that trial?
Who got 2 votes? I think I will say that it was Sheehan.
That's correct. Yeah, Sheehan, legend of talking with T-Bird. Yeah, Sheehan got 2 votes.
Rob Zabaknik voted for Sheehan every time.
Rob Zabaknik and of course Stephanie, who went home, voted for Sheehan.
Okay.
Yeah. So good job, Rob. You win the quiz 3-1. You're back in your winning ways. You're 2-2 on the season. Rob is actually 2 losses in a row. Sort of looking like the Yankees in the first two games at Yankee Stadium. Yeah.
How is the pinch quizzer working out, Jordan?
I liked it.
Okay.
I think it brought.
I mean, we had
We have to maybe cement the rules down just to see how that would work going forward. This was figuring things off the cuff. But the questions were fine. The questions weren't the problem.
That one could have been more clearly worded, but you know,
I agree. Okay, that one I'll give you that. I could see how you would have said it would not what you thought.
Listen, the listeners will tell it. They will tell us that I don't have to think about this anymore. They will tell. They say Jordan was right or Rob was right. All right.
Hey, but guess what? You won. You won anyways. It doesn't matter.
Okay. So Ryan and Brandon. Okay, you guys are casting another season of Live to Give. Brandon, how do people get involved with what you're doing?
Yeah. So I mean, there's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all those pages. So pretty much. We've been pretty much promoting the last season that Elder was on. We've been releasing episodes. I think we're on episode 7 or 8.
Whoa.
So I think seven. We're on episode 7. So I think definitely people that are interested, very quick bit, if you love Survivor and you have a charity you're passionate about, I think Live to Give is definitely a good thing for you to do. I think the charity element, and I'll let Elder talk more about the experience because I've only hosted it. I think the charity element adds a lot more harder gameplay because it becomes a lot more personal and emotional. So, but yeah, we have Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. YouTube, if you want to watch it, it's youtube.com/live to give. In regards to applications, you'll find it on our Facebook page, Live to Give MN, Live to Give Minnesota. Yeah, I don't know. It's a really fun event. It's something super personal to me as a huge Survivor fan. Obviously, not as big of a fan as I thought I was with this trivia. Good
okay.
job, Jordan.
Okay.
I hear there's a lot of kayaking in Minnesota. Were there any kayaking challenges during Live to Give?
We didn't have water this year.
What
actually,
about the Mall of America challenges?
We should have made Papa Smurf run there. No, we didn't have water this year. We had water on a Sunday season because she had a pool and we used her place. So, right.
Brandon, I actually have a friend named Carl who lives in the area. He's a musician, and I think that he might be a good fit.
That's awesome. No, definitely send him.
I'll message him. I've got his email address. I met him on Craigslist, but I think he's a good guy. He's fun.
And if you have Comcast in the Minnesota area, you can watch.
You know, one of the really sweet things about Live to Give, as opposed to other live reality games, is because it's for charity, there's so many volunteers helping with it that it feels like a real show when you're there. Like, there were even people who walked with us to go to the bathroom to make sure we weren't communicating with the other tribe, things like that. There were so many volunteers that it really felt like the real deal. And so if you are interested in playing a Survivor game, this one is 3 days. It's 2 nights. You don't eat or sleep really for the first 30 plus hours. It's really a realistic to the real game in the sense that almost every part of it is, except for the length, you know. Mm-hmm. I would highly recommend if you want to play, if you've always thought about playing Survivor, this is such a great way to do it because the charity aspect really does make people play super hard. I know I played hard.
Yeah, it's really a good like 2-for-1 2. I mean, you guys raise from January to July, I guess, really however much you want. I think the unique thing is we have advantages for fundraising. So if you're like one of the highest fundraisers, you get an advantage in the game. But yeah, and I mean, just for like information overarching, in the past 3 years, we've raised over $90,000 for various charities throughout the 4 seasons. And we every year we just keep growing. And I would love to, you know, reach out. I'm so grateful that you had me, Rob, because I love that the Survivor community is so much bigger. Even like you said, you're in Minneapolis, and I knew I worked a double on that day, so I couldn't be there. But it's crazy and it's wild, and I'm super, super happy and super humbled that you've brought me an Elder on today.
All right, well, thank you both again for coming on and talking with us about everything that's going on this week in Survivor. Of course, you can find Jordan Kalish as well. He's on Twitter at Jordan Kalish. If you have anything you want to say to him.
Yep. And if if you don't recognize my name, it's because I'm currently D-Stoplish. It is at Jordan Kalish.
Yes, D Stelplish. Be sure to check that out. Of course, thank you all so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. If you haven't checked it out yet, we launched our new series where Shannon Gates, our international Survivor superstar, is Legend. Talking with some of the international Survivor players. Ryan, do you ever watch the international seasons?
I saw Survivor Australia,
the first one
and two, the one first two.
Yes.
And I loved them. I just don't have, I haven't had time to watch the others. I've heard they're amazing though.
Well, Shannon Gates is talking with Pia Miranda this week. So check that out if you are interested in hearing about what Pia thinks about what's going on here through 4 episodes of US Survivor. And of course, we've got a lot more coming up this week, including a Robin Akiva Anita podcast, the very podcast that went to Minnesota this summer. We are going to have an episode where we watch season 3, episode 7 of Friends. That's still to come here this week before we get into episode 5 of Survivor Island of the Isles and talking about the swap. Jordan, anything else we need to say here?
I think we're all good. I think we've covered our
how
bases.
Was the big mafia game?
The Big Mafia game. So I was actually hosting the first maybe 20 minutes of the game, and then it was time for the Yankee game to start. So I went to watch the Yankee game at the bar, and but I heard it was great. I heard everyone had a good time, but okay. I was in the other room.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's a tough break that you were hosting the first 20 minutes of the game. I guess you guys didn't even get to start playing.
No, I think I did like two rounds or something, and okay. then someone took over. I think Amy Howard took over.
How big is a big mafia game? How many people?
Well, the first game was like 16. I believe the second game that I wasn't in there for was like over 20.
That's too many.
Too many. Yeah, it's a lot. That's but I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot. But I mean, like, if you do enough rolls that, like, if you do enough killing rolls, it doesn't take as long as you think.
Sure.
Killing rolls. What's that? What Rupert was tweeting about?
Yeah, he was tweeting about mafia.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you put a couple serial killers and a postman, a killer miller in there, you're all good.
All right. Great job once again, Jordan. And thank you guys so much for listening. Of course, all of this podcasting and nonsense is supported by the patrons of Rob's Podcast. Got to see so many of the patrons out in New York City this past week to find out more about everything that's going on in our patron community and catch up with this weekend's Facebook Saturday and the patron five in our patron only podcast feed. Head on over to robiswebsite.com/patron. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.